And what is my people that we should be able thus to offer willingly? For all things have come from you, and of your own we have given you. Please join me in welcoming Pastor Preville to the stage.
Again, I greet you in the name of Jesus. I praise God for being here with you. I have to thank Pastor Tim and Pastor Kister and the board member of the church for letting me come. First, I bring greeting from my congregation and from my family in Haiti. I come to say thank you. Thank you for your support to my ministry in Haiti. As Pastor Tim has let you see, big progress has been done in the construction. I would like to just remind you something, how things was, how my people were discouraged after the earthquake in Haiti, because I take over the ministry in, I was assistant pastor in 1997, I take over in 1999, and because of our program of evangelization in the area, Delmas 32, that is a crowded area, a lot of people come to Jesus, and the church became too small. And at that time, even the people at church told me, what are you going to do? We don't have place to for those people. And we meet together in a meeting, and we decide that we will raise funds at church to see how we will increase the church building. From 1999 to 2008, we were able, with donation, for example, when I came here, and with donation I received, plus what we raised at church, we were over $20,000, and we start increasing the church building. We take 2 years to do that, from 2008 to 2010. And we are very close to rededicate the house to the Lord, and the earthquake happened, and the former building destroyed, and what we have just built damaged, so we had to knock down everything. Some people at church were very discouraged. Some of them even say, let's go to meet another church because we won't be able to exist anymore as a church. I told them, we have an almighty God. Whatever thing happened in Christian life, it's just because God has a better plan. But they didn't really believe. 1 year after, God provided, because we were able to meeting in the corner of one member's house where we have the joyway and a little space. We put an umbrella to worship God. And God make provision. We had this family in Fort Erie. He was able to help us to have the temporary sanctuary where we are worshiped now. When they show you the video, the first part you see is the sanctuary where we worship. And the second, what I show you, is what we have just built. Not only this family helped us, we were very surprised this year. God put the desire in your heart to help us. And now, if you came to Haiti, you would see how happy they are. And because they see what God can do. Because after the earthquake, everybody was in trouble. There are difficulties even to survive. They don't really believe something like this could happen. But our God is a great God. And he allow it to happen. We thank him, and we thank you so much for this big effort that make my people see the evidence of God's greatness. So again, thank you so much. This morning, you have, I could say, this month, you have a subject. The subject is about giving. Like I could just told you about my people, I believe that the Bible is the word of God, that God revelation to his people. And also, I believe that every single word in the Bible must be taught to his people so that they know how they can better serve our Almighty God. I'm going to share this predication with Pastor Tim, but in my heart, I feel to share a few words with you about giving. Pastor Tim have just read for you in the book of Chronicles, the First Chronicle, chapter 29 to verse 9 and verse 14. I believe this Holy Scripture is one of the greatest examples about giving. And quickly in this Holy Scripture, from verse 1 to verse 3, David was making a preparation. Because God wants the people of Israel to build a temple for him in Jerusalem. And you know the story, David was going to do so, and God asked him not to do that because his son, Solomon, is going to build the temple. But as man of God, from verse 1 to verse 2, he was making the preparation. And in verse 3 to verse 5, David felt that he must give himself for the building of the church, the temple of God. And also, after making all those preparations and give himself in what God has given to him, like it is said in verse 14, and he encouraged the people and say, who are willing to give for God's temple? And you see, after David given, his administration, that means people who are leading the power with him, give generously, and also the whole people were willing to give. And verse 9, they do that with joy. And also, after receiving all of the donation, from verse 10 to 19, David was so surprised to see how God used his people to give to make preparation for his temple. Not only he was surprised, he gave praise to God. He praised him. And one verse I have a focus on is verse 14. I want you to read it and reread it again. Verse 14, who am I to give so generously for your work? And David realized he was able to give in what God has given to him. I want you to note that, because we'll be back to this verse. We am I, and you and I this morning should ask ourselves the same question. Who we are to give for the work of God? So I believe God's people must continue giving for his work. And in the book of Malachi, we see that we should give different offering. For example, we must continue giving, because in Malachi chapter 3, God was talking to his people and say, you cheat me, you rob me. And they were asking questions, in what we have robbed you? And God has answered in the tithes and the offerings. I want you to have a look in those verses, and you will see in verse 9b, in the tithe fees and the offerings, those words are in plural. That means in plural, that means God wants us to make different time of offering. For example, if you are doing the same work like I do in Haiti, make a lot of evangelization, a lot of people come to accept Jesus, next time your building will be too small. You will need to increase it. So you don't want to wait for this moment. We can start raising money, and if that happened for the building. And not also for the building, if something happened that because this building is so old and you want to repair something, we need to give so that this work can continue. And also, if God asks you to start another church in Canada, not in this, you have this church here, but to start another church, maybe in Montreal or somewhere else. So his people must be willing to give so that this work can go on. So you see, we can give for the construction, not only for our church. We can give if another church is building and cannot himself. So if you give your participation, so it will be a blessing because God asks us to do so. And not for building only, but if another church is in difficult situation, we can give to help them because God asks us to do so. In the 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and chapter 10, we'll have I will ask you to keep your Bible open in those two chapters because in this Holy Scripture, we see that the Christian of Jerusalem were in difficult situation. And because they were in difficult situation, we have the Macedonian people. You remember when we talk about the Macedonian people, where after Paul was going to the second mission trip, where God prevented him from going to Asia, and he arrived to Macedonia. And those people, they say they were not rich. They were very poor. But because one word that catch my attention in this chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 3, this verse say, just because they give themselves to God, they were willing to give over that the process. They were able to give generously. The Macedonian people were helping the people or the Christian of Jerusalem. And through this offering, we were able to see the evidence of God's grace because they give themselves to God and whatever they possess, they were ready to give it for the word of God. And like David said, they understood that whatever we possess, whatever we are able to give to God, is what God has given to us. And also, I believe we have different type of offering. Also, I believe there are way to give. That is in this chapter that Pastor Tim has read for you. But I'm going to take other verses. God wants you and I to give generously. I love this verse in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24. And in this verse, it is said, who give more will never get poor. But people who are, I don't know if I can say this word. If it's a mistake, we will correct me. But people who are picky with money, is it good? You won't be able to satisfy all your need because God loves when you give generously. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, it says the same thing. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, it says the same thing. If you give little, you will receive little. But when you give generously, God will give you generously. God will bless you generously. And also, I love this verse, the verse 8. If you read the verse 8 in the 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, he says, God will bless you generously when you are able to give generously, so that you always give for all your need and provide, so that you can keep on giving for his work. I beg you, see this verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. You will have all sufficient in everything, so that you will be able to continue giving. Not only give generously, God wants us to give with joy. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse B, 7b. We need to give with joy, very pleased, because what we are giving, it's from God. God give us, and we are giving back to him. So we must feel blessed. We must feel happy. We must feel joy when we are able to give to God. In this verse, he say, a cheerful giver. You must be a cheerful giver. And not only generously, not only with joy. And God asks you and I to give the way we feel in our heart. By experience, whenever there is a situation and they ask to give, and you heard the situation, personally, God put an amount in my heart. If I want to get blessed, even though it's big, even though it is middle, I don't know, I have to give the exact amount that God put in my heart. So is the reason why I say the way you feel in your heart. And also, I believe that no one's supposed to force you to give. But yourself, that is a contradiction. No one's supposed to force you to give, but yourself. You must feel in your heart that you're supposed to give. But no one's supposed to force you, but you must force yourself to give to the Lord, because whatever we possess, it's come from. Can you say the words for me? It's come from God. So we must force ourselves to give for God. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5, because if you give yourself to God, so you must be ready to give and share whatever you have with God. And also, I believe there is blessing when you are able to give. The first verse I have said, Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24, God say, you will become richer. And 2 Corinthians verse 8, verse 9, God will give you all sufficient because you have given. And also, when you give, you make preparation of a treasure in the heaven. It is say in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 21. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 21. So you will make a treasure in the heaven. Because Apostle Paul say, we came in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 7, we came with nothing, and we won't go with anything. Remind that, my brothers and sisters, this is how I believe. We come with nothing, and we will not be able to go with nothing. And it is say in Mark chapter 8, verse 35. I love this verse. What that would save you to possess everything if you lost yourself? So just make a treasure for the Lord in the heaven. And we can realize in this Holy Scripture, in Jerusalem, there was only one temple that was building. But nowadays, we are in the last day, and we have people that have called even before the foundation of the world, but they are still outside. So we need to keep on making preparation for them, so that whenever the day is going to arrive for God to call us, and they are wanting to come to God, to become God's people, we find a place for them so that they can enter and be part of the church of God. My brothers and sisters, Remember that we give God in what he has given us, because it is said in Agé chapter 2, verse 8, silver and gold belong to God. So I was thinking about that, about God's greatness. God is the one who created the heaven, the earth, the water, the sea, whatever we see around us. So they are wonderful things. If God didn't want to use you and I, and he would like to do something, he know the exact day that Pastor Tim will be the first to enter his office. He would fill this office with money and written a note that is for the building or that is to help other people. But God doesn't want to do that. He wants to use you and I. For example, when you have your kids, my kids, I always do that with them. When I give them something, I try to ask them to share with me. This is how God is. He wants you and I, when he gave you something, to see that you are not embarrassed with them. You are willing to share with God. And also, give is a gift. It's a gift from God. There are people, they are almost ready to give. I'm going to leave you, but I'm going to share a little story with you. I had a widow in my church. Unfortunately, she passed away. That widow was always, she always have something to share. She had a daughter in the U.S. Sometimes that daughter sent something to him, some money or whatever. She always have a candy to share to every people at church. Sometimes he just bring me some candy, I take it. And one time, he came with two Haitian dollars. That was less than 25 cents. And he brought it to me, gave it. So I said, no, mom, you don't need that because I'm supposed to give you now. And he yelled on me, don't take it if you are. But, you know, in my childhood, I didn't use to fight with people older than me. I just took my $2 and put it in my pocket, even though I don't really need it, because it was a gift from God. He always ready to share with everyone. But my brothers and sisters, this is how God wants you to give for his work, because you and I, whenever we are giving, we give in what God has given to us. Because if God didn't give you health, you wouldn't be able to work. And if he didn't give you opportunity, it would be the same thing. During my trip here, I met with a lady. She wanted to be a doctor. She started the nursing studies. After 2 years, because she was epileptic, she couldn't continue the study. But imagine, God give you and I his brief. He give you and I his help. So whatever we are able to give for him, it was he has given to us. My brothers and sisters, I beg that you understand. David make the preparation. He give himself as his people to give. It's the same thing in my church when we have to raise something, I am ready to give and ask my people, my leaders to give. So because give to God is a blessing. May God bless you today.
Whether you have been going to church for a significant portion of your life, or you're newer to attending church, you notice something that we did this morning. We took up an offering. And if you come week after week, you'll notice we're pretty consistent with that. We do it every week. And so maybe you've wondered, why do we give? And so we needed to take some time this morning in the midst of this series to talk about giving,
because we believe that we are called by God to give and to give generously. If you have your Bibles, they're open to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. And here we are where the Apostle Paul is giving a leadership talk to a group of church leaders. So imagine a church leaders conference, okay, and the Apostle Paul is speaking. And he's talking to them about hard work. He's telling these leaders, you're expected by God to work and to work hard. And he's giving examples from his own life. He's saying, I am not a lazy man. I'm a hard worker. And so we're going to read chapter 20, verse 35, where the Apostle Paul says this, in all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way, in the ways that I've been telling you about, we must help the weak. And we'll stop there for now. We must help the weak. The Apostle Paul is saying we've got to work hard because there's people who need to benefit from our hard work. I ran into a gentleman just here in the falls, back in the wintertime. And he was asking people for spare change. He said he was hungry. So I offered to take him out for lunch. So I took him out for lunch. I got to know him a little bit. It turns out he was a man just in love with the Lord, wanted to serve him. He had just recently moved to Niagara Falls. And so we shared lunch together. And I kept bumping into him in the following weeks and months. And I offered to take him out for a coffee and sat down with him, and I was getting to know him a little bit more, so I felt comfortable. I offered to help him get a job. I thought, you know, this guy, he's trying. He said he wants to serve the Lord. I figured maybe I could help him get a job, help him put together a resume. I know some people. Maybe I could help him out. And he was extremely uninterested, and I couldn't figure it out. And he really, when it comes down to it, he thought that money was evil. He only wanted enough to have food in his stomach and shelter over his head at night. And in so many ways, doesn't that sound so spiritual? Oh God, I just need enough for me. But you know, we were sharing a coffee and I leaned towards him and said, you know, if I only had enough for me, I couldn't have bought you that coffee. I couldn't have bought you lunch. If the people of God only have enough for themselves, how can we reach out and be a blessing? How can we reach out and help others? See, the Apostle Paul says, church leaders, church goers, you need to work hard. You're expected to work. You're expected to make an income. Why? So that you can enjoy yourself? Yeah, but that's another sermon. Paul's saying, because you need to help the weak. There are others who need your help. And then he reminds them, he says, we must help the weak and remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. We can understand this. We experience Christmas time and birthdays, and it feels great to open up a present. It feels great to receive a gift from somebody. But when you've bought something for somebody else, there's a more significant feeling when you're waiting for them to open that gift. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And this is how Jesus worked. This is how God works when he gave us Jesus. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And so Christine and I, we get excited about giving. We do, and it's strange. I was listening to a testimony from a guy the other day. He said that he was at a meeting, and when they said that it was offering time, people started clapping and cheering, and I thought, hey, that's our church. And he said he couldn't figure it out. Why are people so excited to give their money away? He couldn't fathom it. But that's the way that Christine and I are. We have a heart to give. Every year, at the end of the year, when we get our slip from the government that talks about all of our income and the tax write-offs that we had and the different charitable donations, we make a statement that next year we're going to give more. We never want to give less than what we're currently giving. We always want to increase in our giving to others. And so let's go back to 2 Corinthians, where Pastor Preville had us there. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, where again, Paul is writing and talking here about giving. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, starting in verse 6. He says, the point is this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. You know, when it comes to giving, there's two different ideas out there. The people who give and who give generously, they go, you know what? I am blessed because I give. And the people who don't give go, well, they can give because they're blessed. See, which one's right? Do you have to wait to be blessed before you can give? Do you have to make a certain amount of money? Do you have to get a certain amount of your credit cards paid off before you can give? Which comes first? Paul is saying, whoever gives little gets little. If you want a large harvest, then you've got to sow some seed. Farmers don't wait until crops start growing in order to plant the seeds. They plant the seed first. And then he says this, and this is what I want to focus on just in our last few moments this morning. Verse 7, each one must give as he has decided in his heart. Not reluctantly, not under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So each one must give. It's not really an option. You must give. If you want to honor God, if you want to bless God with what he has given you, you must give. And he says, you mustn't do it reluctantly. Don't be unwilling to give. Don't hesitate to give. But the second thing is, not under compulsion. Don't give because you feel guilty. Don't give because you heard someone preach on a sermon on giving. Paul's saying, you give as you've decided in your heart. Don't give emotionally because, you know, there was just a certain thing that happened in the service where you just felt overwhelmed with emotions and so you want to give. That's okay, but as you've decided in your heart, it kind of sounds like there's some preparation here. And so I want to propose to you that the Apostle Paul wants you to have a plan to give. We can tend to give emotionally. We can tend to think, wow, I've really been blessed by the church services these past few weeks, so today I'm going to write a check. That's great. But he's saying you have to give as you've decided in your heart to give. What is your plan for giving? Do you have a plan? If you look at your finances at home, you'll notice if you don't have a plan to either get out of debt or to save up towards something, it just doesn't happen. Amen? If you don't plan on it happening, it just doesn't. You go, well, I don't know why I just can't get out of debt. You probably don't have a plan to get out of debt. Well, I just don't know why I can't save up for this and this and that. Well, you probably don't have a plan. And so my challenge for you this morning is, what is your plan to give? The beautiful thing is, as a church, I have no idea. As a pastor, I have no idea what you give. And you could come here and worship and be a part of our gatherings for the rest of your life and never give, and I would treat you with the same love and respect as the biggest giver in the church. We won't treat anybody as a church based on what they give. That's between you and God. We don't check the records when you call up and ask if you'd like to have a meeting with the pastor. Oh, what did he put in the offering last week? That's not in the policy binder. We do not treat people based on what you give. Okay, so you need to know that. This isn't about us trying to manipulate or take advantage. This is about, as Pastor Preville said, there's a work to be done. And it takes money to do it. God needs our resources in order to do it. Let's read verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, so that you, having all sufficiency in all things at all times, may abound to every good work. Could you imagine being at the place where you could give to every good work that came across you? Every opportunity that came up, yeah, I could give to that. That's God's will for you. Not just to have enough to have food in your belly and shelter for your family, to give unto every good work that passes you by. God wants you to be able to give. And let's read verse 10. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. Several years ago, this scripture completely changed for me. And I'll just end with a story here, and I'll ask the worship team to come up. Verse 10, he will supply seed to the sower. So Paul's using this farming analogy. You sow seed, you reap a harvest. But notice something that we learn about God here. He supplies the seed. Last November, when we started talking about raising funds to send to Pastor Preville, you know what Christine and I did? We asked for God to supply some seed. We couldn't write a check right then, but we said, God, this is the amount that we'd like to give. And we'd ask you for some seed to sow. And when that seed came, we wrote the check. See, God supplies seed. So don't think, when you think about giving, don't think about what your current bank balance is. Don't think about what your current income is or your salary or your bills. Ask God for seed. He's faithful to give you the seed. And so when I one evening was at a conference, I had just purchased a new Bible at this conference, and it was on sale. It was 25% off. So I was all excited. I got to save some money. And then I'm in the service, and this is what the pastor is preaching on. He supplies seed to the sower. I sort of put my hand in my pocket, and I started jingling around. I got some seed in my pocket. I was going to pay full price for that Bible. You know that? But I got it on sale. God supplied me with seed. I got to give an offering that I would have just given to the cashier to buy a product. Do you see that? God supplies the seed. Several years ago, Christine had signed up to take a teacher's course, which cost around $600 or $700. And we found out after we had paid for it, after the course was done, that the Teachers Foundation was going to be helping with some of these courses. And so they gave us a reimbursement. Here you go, $700 is coming in the mail to you. We could have gone shopping, but you know what we said? This is seed. This is seed. We already spent the money. We already got the results that we wanted. And this that came, this isn't for us, God. You want this to be our seed, and we're going to sow this. You need to ask God for some seed, because I know many of you in here, you'd like to give. You go, Pastor Tim, I'd love to give generously. This is great. This is a great topic. We should be giving, but I'm in debt, but I don't have enough. Ask God for some seed. He'll give you sales. He'll send checks in the mail. He's bigger than your financial state. If you want to give, God honors that. Why? He loves a cheerful giver. He loves a cheerful giver. And so I would just challenge you this morning, whether you've never given or you've always given, be a cheerful giver. Ask God to supply you with seed, and he will. He's faithful. He is faithful. Let me pray with you this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the good God that you are.